God's abstention is only from human dialects. The Holy Voice utters its woe and its glory in many musics, in signs and in portents. Our own words are for us to speak, a way to ask and a way to answer. Some opening words from the poet Denise Levertov. And now we light our chalice as a symbol of our free religious faith. Welcome everyone to our service this morning. My name is Jeff. I am from the church in Brighton, and on this rather grey and rather chilly May morning, I would like to thank you for your very warm welcome to Kensington. I really like coming to this church, and of course that is because you are a very special congregation. It has nothing to do with the fact that you have those really impressive Dyson air blades in the toilets, which no other Unitarian church has, as far as I'm aware. But of course it's your good selves that I enjoy seeing. Our service this morning will be at least a little bit meandering, and that's because my theme is rivers. There is something ancient and beguiling about rivers, my theme for this morning. The American poet Langston Hughes says, "My soul has grown deep like rivers." But rivers are also exhilarating. There is something original and alive about them, something that reminds us that we are alive. This reading is from The Wind in the Willows by Kenneth Grahame. It comes from the beginning of the book. With the best of intentions, Mole has begun his spring cleaning and his redecorating, but during his chores, he finds himself going for a little walk.
Hither and thither through all the meadows he rambled busily, along the hedgerows, across the copses, finding everywhere birds building, flowers budding, leaves thrusting, everything happy and progressive and occupied. He thought his happiness was complete, when as he meandered aimlessly along, suddenly he stood by the edge of a full-fed river. Never in his life had he seen a river before. This sleek, sinuous, full-bodied animal, chasing and chuckling, gripping things with a gurgle and leaving them with a laugh, to fling itself on fresh playmates that shook themselves free and were caught and held again. All was a shake and a shiver, glints and gleams and sparkles, rustle and swirl, chatter and bubble. The mole was bewitched, entranced, fascinated. By the side of the river, he trotted as one trots when very small, by the side of a man who holds one spellbound by exciting stories. And when tired at last, he sat on the bank, while the river still chattered on to him, a babbling procession of the best stories in the world, sent from the heart of the earth, to be told at last to the insatiable sea.
Not long after this encounter with the river, Mole encounters the river's great gift to him, Ratty, the water rat who will become his dearest friend. Ratty, who knows all about rivers. One of Ratty's gifts to Mole is his first trip in a boat. This is the effect it has on him.
Absorbed in the new life he was entering upon, intoxicated with the sparkle, the ripple, the scents and the sounds and the sunlight, he trailed a paw in the water and dreamed long waking dreams. The water rat, like the good little fellow he was, sculled steadily on and forbore to disturb him. "I like your clothes awfully, old chap," he remarked after some half hour or so had passed. "I'm going to get a black velvet smoking suit myself some day, as soon as I can afford it." "I beg your pardon," said the mole, pulling himself together with an effort. "You must think I'm awfully rude, but this is all so new to me. So this is a river." "The river," corrected the rat.
Thank you, Caroline. I have all kinds of beliefs and all kinds of doubts, but one of the things that I am certain of is that animals can talk, and that when they talk like the gentlemen of Edwardian England. They're such great chaps, Ratty and Mole. This is entirely by the by. But of course they have souls. Moles have souls. I might have constructed this whole service just to get that one line in. Moles have souls. When I was a boy, I loved messing around on riverbanks. My family often had holidays at the little village of Lealholm in North Yorkshire. Lealholm is built deep in a valley around a bend in the River Esk, which flows into Lealholm down a rocky ravine from the wonderfully named Fryup Dale. There are two villages up there, Great Fryup and Little Fryup. I think you only get one sausage and no mushrooms at Little Fryup. Anyway, I spent hours swimming in that river, paddling in it, building little dams, chasing minnows and tadpoles. The river has dark depths and broad shallows and some little sandy beaches. It rushes down from the moors, flows through the village, and disappears onto mysterious private land. For me, that river was boy heaven. I have been reading about Taoism recently, about Taoism, and rivers have been on my mind. Taoism is a Chinese religion and philosophy that talks about living in harmony with the essence of all existence. Taoists do not exactly have a god. Rather, they imagine the source of all being, known as the Tao. They imagine that as a process, an energy that flows through the whole cosmos. In fact, many of the Christian saints and mystics say a rather similar thing. I think it's Hildegard of Bingen who says God flashes out in every creature. There's this sense of God as an urgent, vital energy. And just as the Christian mystics say God cannot be defined, so the Taoists say that the Tao, the way, cannot be defined. It is said to be beyond human language and thought. The oldest Taoist text is the Tao Te Ching, written 2,600 years ago by Lao Tzu. The first sentence says, "The Tao that can be named is not the true Tao." Nevertheless, the Tao is sometimes called the way and very often imagined as a river, a direction, a current. Taoism has its roots in really ancient Chinese culture. It teaches compassion and moderation. And one of the things I rather like about it is that its early sages, its early practitioners, were not primarily theologians or priests. They were woodcarvers and potters. And the attitude of the crafter is reflected in Taoist teachings. They advise us not to force our will onto the world, but to respond fluidly and flexibly to life. They teach acceptance, acceptance of the raw materials of life, of their natural changing rhythms. This does not mean being passive. It is rather a kind of affectionate patience, an open and modest spirit that welcomes each moment and what it brings. The Taoists say this is practical. It is a way of making our lives more joyful, gentle, and spontaneous. We can do this if we stop fighting with the nature of being itself. We are, after all, part of it. As T.S. Eliot says, the river is within us. Here is one of those meanders I warned you about. One of the other things I have been thinking about is time. I have been thinking about how much of my time I waste on things I don't enjoy, things that leave me feeling uneasy or dispirited or grumpy, and yet I am drawn to them. There is a superficial gloss to much of the world at the moment, and I am a really soft touch for it. I can find myself so easily fascinated by the important topic of some celebrity's new tattoo, or by some catty dispute between football managers, or by the metaphysically indispensable issue of a minor royal and her hat. There is an idea in the work of the German philosopher Heidegger about falling. He uses this word, he doesn't mean anything like the traditional Christian idea of original sin. When he refers to falling, he means that moment when we lose our attention to what is worthless. And actually what he means is when, not just when we lose our attention to it, but when we lose our sense of being present to ourselves and to the world, when we lose that to something which we ourselves don't value. He says that sometimes this is inevitable. It is to some extent part of being a person in a world of other people. It isn't always a spiritual catastrophe. But his notion of falling seems to speak particularly to our times, when we can be so easily both driven and distracted by stuff and lose the quality of our being. So I want to remind myself of other types of time, the times when we do the opposite of falling in this sense, the times when we are creative and meaningfully connected, times when we are simply and wholly present. They might come when we are praying, perhaps, or meditating. They might come when we are inspired by art or nature. They are often fleeting moments, moments of both stillness and energy. Here's another little twist in our river. I read a surprising piece in The New Scientist recently. It talks about the concept of flow, that feeling of fulfillment we experience when we are engaged in making something we care about, or doing a job we love, playing an instrument maybe, or gardening perhaps. The author reviews research into different types of brainwaves and physical states. She says that flow has three key elements. One of them is an experience of absorption. It can often bring a sense of time itself being suspended, a time outside of time. Another feature of flow, she says, is that it is its own reward. It is sufficient unto itself. It is a type of time which is both relaxed and engaged, when our skills are matched perfectly to our activity. The third element she calls very scientifically automaticity. Automaticity. I'll write it down later. Automaticity is the sense that the song is singing itself, or that instead of swimming, you are being swum or swam, the sense that you are the swimming. So, with all of these ideas, this scientific analysis of flow, it makes sense to me that the early proponents of Taoism were crafters and artisans, because they would have had an intuitive experience of the kind of creative flow that the scientists are beginning to understand. It is easy to get carried away by rivers. I mean, easy to get carried away by the idea of fluidity. Most of us are happier and more fulfilled when there is some stability in our lives, some anchorage in our daily worlds. I think there is a fine line between openness to diversity and change and an ethos of novelty and dissatisfaction. Too much change can be numbing and addictive. Stability is usually made out of hard, familiar work and commitment, not qualities one associates with what is sometimes called going with the flow. The wisdom of Eastern traditions, what they tell us about impermanence, can sometimes be used to justify what I think is a rather cheapening attitude about just living for the moment. It's a drama, really, about nothing actually mattering very much. But for me, what I learned from Taoism is that a genuine and dependable spiritual centre is not brittle. We might hold our spiritual values, our religious core, we might hold them strongly, but there is a difference between strength and rigidity. We can limit and even damage our souls by trying to be too fixed, too static. I'm changing metaphor here from rivers to trees. The powerful, enduring tree bends in the wind. Back to rivers. Late last year, I went to a rather lovely funeral in the East End of London. Late in the afternoon, several of us went for coffee, and our friend Joe suggested that we get on one of the riverboats back into the centre of London. I kind of went along with it, really. It was a cold, wet day, and to be honest, travelling by boat seemed like a rather damp and bleak prospect. When the boat came, we stood sheltered at the stern, watching the city process behind us in our wake, and it was beautiful. In the dusk and in the drizzle, London became soft and brilliant. London started to sparkle. The winter twilight took away all the hard edges and turned the city into a series of glittering towers. There was massive Canary Wharf in the distance, the Royal Naval College at Greenwich, Tower Bridge, glamorous restaurants at Butler's Wharf, a little glimpse of St. Paul's, and the South Bank, all of them receding behind us. All of them sort of shimmering and grey and silver. It was pretty, but it wasn't just pretty. It was revitalising. It felt to me like one of those gifts that life brings and makes you glad. It was a grace. You definitely do get another perspective when you look at the world from a river. Or as Ratty and perhaps Lao Tzu would say, the river. Let us go in hope and in courage. May the time we have spent together in stillness and in community bring us comfort and light. Amen.